And good morning, good morning, good morning. It is time now for our Community Connection right here on K1, the one you trust. And we have Bartlesville Public Schools Superintendent Chuck McCauley in here. Gee, it just seemed like a year ago. What has changed in a year?
we were talking before, you know, the Wednesday before spring break today, you know, that was a year ago, really, where the world kind of changed. You know, it was this night. I remember I'm a big basketball fan. I remember watching the Big 12 tournament and then the Thunder game that did not start. And that's really when I know personally really hit home that this is, it's interesting. And then, of course, every hour the world changed. And so, yeah, it's been quite a year getting to this point. And so we're excited that, here we are in the fourth quarter of school that started this week.
Wow.
And we're excited that all the spring activities that go along with that fourth quarter are happening. So we are pleased that, we think we've got as we knock on wood, I'll just jump into the keep on the pandemic, Tom, talking about, today, as of right now, we have one staff member and one student that is in isolation because of positive case.
So that's it.
Tremendous change. Wow. Obviously, our numbers were very different a few weeks ago, so we're very thankful for that. In terms of the vaccines, we've had that one day that we had a couple weeks ago, we had over 300 get vaccinated. We don't know the total number of staff, but we think over two-thirds have received that first shot because people have other additional opportunities to get a vaccine that we may not be aware of all those too. So, and of course, the Cherokee Nation's opening things up, and I mean, there's pharmacies here in town where you can get it, so that's just great. So we are pleased that we are going to be able to finish up this school year and all the things that go along with it. Our spring stuff is off and running. Our soccer plays at home tomorrow night, and baseball, they've been playing. They lost a tough one-run game last night to Broken Arrow, against the last 2 days, but they're really fun to watch. And of course, tennis and golf, and our spring production will be going on at the beginning of May, and just all those spring activities that's really part of school. It's a big part of school. So we're thankful to be at this point. As we were talking off air, so many places across the country, if we have friends and family in different places, and sure, our year's been a little different. There's been some things that we've had to do to make it different. But we've been in person since August 13th and just working through it. And so thankful for our community's support. Mm-hmm. So proud of my teachers for getting us to this point. I think we're all probably ready for spring break, and then of course we're continuing to be on track. School's going to be over here May 19th. I think graduation's on the 20th, or I may have my days a day off there. But
and that's going to be in person?
That's exactly right. We're going to have our graduation. We typically have an outdoor graduation anyway, so fortunately we're used to that. And so, our plan with that will be, obviously, if we have weather, we'll just bump it back a day until we can't have it. We'll just keep moving that. But we'll have our outdoor graduation, which is also obviously a highlight of the year. I know the high school's making plans for an outdoor prom. They've got some pretty exciting things going on there too, because their parent group is really working hard to help us, making sure that we can have these activities for our kids. So, and Tom, it'll be great when I can come on the radio and not talk about the pandemic. Won't that be fun?
Yes, it would be very, very fun. Speaking as the guy who often has to ask a lot of questions about it, I would like to see the day where I don't have to ask one.
Yeah, but it's I think it's just good news overall. If you had told me a few months ago that we would have had all of our staff that wanted the vaccine would have the opportunity to be fully vaccinated by the end of March, I would have thought that's a huge win, and we're there, and so obviously things are, as we move into outdoor activities, that helps things too. And so just so glad we're getting to this point. So thankful that we were able to work with our community to come with a plan to get us started, get our kids back in school, give parents that option to get them back in school in August. And on that note too, because as we've had kids have been transitioning that were virtual. They've been transitioning kind of all year to back in person. But this, I want to make sure, one of my highlights for today, those students that aren't in school currently, especially my younger students, those students that aren't enrolled, right now is when they need to get enrolled. Obviously, we're working our staffing for next year. So if you live in the Bartlesville district, and your students are not currently in school, they can contact the school where they, their area. Obviously, their elementary is, you know, their area there. We have two different middle schools and one high school, but they can contact that school and make an appointment, get them enrolled. You know, last year, actually for this school year, we shifted some of our staffing and added six early childhood teachers to help with our student teacher staff ratio to lower those class sizes. So that obviously we need to know how many kids are coming to help us with that, because you know, we've had this year our current kindergartners, when they're in pre-K a year ago, we had our largest pre-kindergarten class ever.
Wow.
And those kids are all with us as kindergartners, and so this year our pre-kindergarten numbers were down, just like they are statewide, which is understandable with the pandemic. So we think there's maybe some other kids that maybe that are pre-kindergarten age this year that we need to get them enrolled and get them in class too. So if a parent is not in our school district, then they would work through the my office, and all this information is on the website in terms of working on a transfer. If they don't live in our district, because we do have several students that don't live in our district, there's been some legislation recently about open transfer, but just, you know, in our area, that's not an issue, because if a kid wants to transfer someplace else, there's just a approval process that we sign off on, and the same thing in the other direction, because we have capacity for them. So that's not an issue with us. So the bottom line, really want to encourage if parents have kids that are school age this upcoming school year, to right now is a time where they need to get enrolled for next year so that we have a good staffing plan for them. We do anticipate we are going to offer the virtual option. I think we're down to about 11.5% of our student population is virtual currently. You know, we started over 20% this year. And so we're surveying those parents to determine how many of them want to stay virtual next year. And we think that number is probably going to be in half. It's going to be a much smaller number, but we are going to continue to offer that option because that is a good fit for some families, even forget the pandemic. I mean, some it's pandemic related, but some families, that's a better fit for them to be enrolled virtually. So we'll continue to offer that option from pre-kindergarten up through the 12th grade. So really want to encourage people to take advantage of that. And I've got a few things from our board meeting. Tom, if it's okay if I just keep
talking. Oh, hey, yeah, let's do that. there's one thing I want to hit on. We were talking on the COVID-19. Dr. Curtis brought up a surprise. We were blessed, first of all, with Phillips 66 and Conoco helping us out with PPE. Mm-hmm. Where did we get all of these K95?
Yeah, those masks. That was actually an anonymous donor in the state. They provided for all schools. They provided a... forgive me, K90 or K95 mask. Yeah. I may have the numbers wrong, but for all teachers in the state. And so basically we provided those at the beginning of the year for those that wanted them. And there's just a few people that actually use them because they're
more challenging. Grade.
Yes, yes, they are. So we've shared that with all of our staff. Mm-hmm. Any of them that want that, they have access to them. Actually, they can even have one they could use per week for the rest of the year.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I should, that kind of goes back to us getting started on time. You know, we were, you know, a year ago, we had no plan, for example, of having a device for every kid. We've done that with our elementary age, you know, in terms of working through that challenge on kids having internet access. Mm-hmm. We have now hotspots to check out for kids that don't have that. And so, and a lot of that's been done with community private funds to make that happen. And we just built off of that, off of our bond issues. And so, so pleased that we've been able to offer that opportunity. I'll mention on the board meeting on the spotlight, we had one academic all-stater, Max Williams, and Max is a great student for us. So proud to offer him, proud to him to be selected for that. There's only 100 academic all-staters in the state of Oklahoma. And we've had one selected every year, at least one selected every year. So proud of Max. I've known him for a long time. He's a great young man. We recognized our swimmers. You know, our swim team just finished up their season. Our girls finished sixth at state. Our boys were the state runner-up and had a state championship relay team there and had a great year. I think that's the 11th year in a row that one of our swim teams has come home with either a state championship or a state runner-up. That's 11 in a row. So that's a really high expectation. I know Coach Engelhart shared with me, he anticipated our girls team, which is very young and have some kids coming in, that they'll be very competitive for another state championship next year. And then our public school foundation under Blair Ellis's leadership, Blair and her board, at least one of her board members was there They obviously are kind of our fundraising arm for our district, and they presented a check Monday to our ag program of $45,500. And so that's with Marty Jones and Cameron Dale, our ag program. They had a wish list when they came of things that were kind of it was a wish list, which included a plasma cutter for kids to be able to use. And basically Blair was able to had private funding that came through for that they were able to pay for everything on that list. And mm-hmm. So that was really a great thing. That program continues to flourish. There's great interest in it, and I'm so pleased that our kids are getting that great experience of an ag program, and so thankful for our community for providing those resources for them.
We saw the nice jackets out there at the Junior Livestock Show that said Bartlesville on it.
Yes, that's exactly right.
There you go.
Yes, our kids deserve to have that opportunity, yeah. And I'm so pleased that they do, that is happening. And then also mention, and actually Blair mentioned, I'll probably talk about that again next month, but they are hosting a couple of events that'll be in late April and early May. Our Teacher of the Year, typically we do that in February, but we're actually going to schedule that at the end of April. It's actually going to be at Dungeness Stadium, which will be a fun event. And then also our Teacher Hall of Fame. We're going to be at the Price Tower, Uni Square Price Tower. I may have the name wrong, but everyone knows what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that event there. I believe that's on May 4th off the top of my head. So that'll be right after school time, but like from 4 to 5 o'clock. So, and the foundation puts those events on us as well. And then on the kind of on the spring side, kind of jumping around just a little bit, I mentioned a little bit about spring activities, but we're going to have the Rigdon Field dedication for mm-hmm. at Dungeness Stadium. We've had that scheduled for March 29th, so that's coming up here at 4:15. We have a game that's going to start at 4:30, and so we're just going to have a brief dedication ceremony to dedicate that field to my good friend Spence Rigdon. And also mention from an action item from our bond issue, from our board meeting, we approved the resolution. I know you've already talked about it on the radio, because City Council, that was kind of the first step where they gifted the district land by the high school, where if we do have a successful bond issue election to build an ag center, that they gifted us the land where we could build it there by the high school, by the Pathfinder, which is obviously a great location for us for that program. And then also because we know that we'll have to build up, you know, if that's successful, one of the major things we'll have to do is build it up out of the flood plan. And so thankful for our city's expertise in helping with that. Real similar to if people think about what's been done at Lowe's or the shopping area there, where that area had to be built up, and there's specific requirements on you have to build it up with dirt that's in that area. And so we're thankful because that is going to be an expense to build it up. So we're thankful that the city is able to gift us that land to help get that site ready. So appreciate our working with the City Council. And then we had a little discussion related to our bond issue just for the future, and I'll go ahead and just talk a little bit about that. We are, and just first thing I want to say that this is no tax increase. We are talking about planning for an election, a vote in August. And there's information on past bond issues going back to 2012 on BruinBond.com, so people can go back and see the things that we had on previous resolutions and what has been approved and all the different things that we've been able to do with those. This will be very similar to what we've been doing in terms of we'll have that operational funding for things like technology. Technology will obviously be a major part of our bond issue, has been and will continue to be. Our curriculum, STEM, ag, those type of things, maintenance, facilities, and safety and transportation, those funding that we can use bond funds for, we'll continue to do that for these. And this is out through the 2023-24 school year. Our 2019 bond issue helped us for the next 2 years. And then on the project side, that's where the biggest difference between this election and the last one most likely will be the Ag Center, in terms of what the that's going to be a little bit bigger project than what we've had previously. So, and we're working on that design currently. Obviously, prices are a piece of that as well. But that's and we have site requests that come along with that. Every site kind of has different facility needs, different things that they need, and we'll be touching every site with that. Matter of fact, just a few projects people will see over the summer upcoming that will be done with previous bond issue funds. One at Central Middle School, we're going to be adding a playground out front in terms of playground equipment that they don't have currently in Central Park there south of the building. Over at Wilson Elementary, we'll be replacing their playground, their wooden big toy. That's going to be replaced before the start of school. A couple of elevators, one, the original at Bartlesville High School, which it's time, it's way past time, and then the original at Madison. Those two elevators will be replaced over the summer before the start of school year as well. And then various concrete paving projects kind of throughout the district. Those are a few things that people will continue to see. And when they see those, and also we'll have some safety lights that will be installed as well. We've already purchased the lights for Central, on actually both sides of Central. Our friends at the city will put those in. And that's really, when they see those, just want to make sure people are aware that those are actually paid for with bond funds. So we really appreciate all the community support to make that happen for our kids and to be able to offer these great opportunities for our kids.
That's wonderful. We heard something about the possibility of a running track that could be possibly fit into this should the bond issue pass. Is that true?
Yeah, we're definitely working. That's probably the number one priority from our athletic and activities folks. It's time for us to start over on our track, to dig it up and replace that track. And that, I definitely anticipate that being, we put layers on top of it, but it's time to start over. And so we definitely think that running track will be one of the items that's on it. We will have more information come out after spring break, and we'll have the opportunity for public input. We're kind of gearing up towards the May school board meeting, where they would approve the resolution. It has to be done 60 days ahead of the election. So yes, definitely. We've gone through all of our different sites. They've submitted a prioritized list of things that they would like to be included. We've done site tours, and we're working through those right now. And we're continuing to look at things. You know, I spent several days last week watching our baseball team play down at Dungeness Stadium, and we're so thankful that the city, we've worked together. So now that that's our facility, we can, you know, like we have the infield turf, artificial turf, and so just more playability on that. You know, Oklahoma Wesleyan's able to use that, and I know this summer we'll be playing a lot, but we're able to do additional things to spruce that facility up. Now that it's ours, we can spend money on that too. I know they've got some requests in to continue to help us with our baseball and softball fields. I know they're interested in some indoor hitting facilities at both of those places too, and also can help our golf program because they can use that over at the if we have one over at the softball field too. So there's the type of things that we're discussing. However, the main point of it is just to have that operational funding so that we can continue to provide these opportunities for our kids. And then last thing I just wanted to mention, with spring break coming up, I know a lot of folks will be traveling, but there's going to be a lot of folks that are like me that are going to be here in Bartlesville. And so really encourage folks, because I know people are starting to get out more and maybe go out to eat or get things to go or those type of things too. Really encourage people to spend their money here locally. You know, our local businesses need that. They need those resources working through this pandemic. So really, I know Jennifer and I, we're going to make it a point to be intentional about spending our money here. So really encourage everybody to step in and really help our community through this.
One last thing. How did our teacher fair work on March?
Wonderful. We had a great event. We had, I think, 29 total folks come last Saturday.
Great.
We had some additional safety things, and we worked through it, but yes. And we are not having much turnover this year in terms of folks indicating their intent to return for last year too, so pretty minimal, which is a good thing too.
Very good. Chuck McCauley, thank you very much for being with us today.
You bet. Thanks for having me, Tom.
All right. We've got more coming up right here on K1.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with a large dealership